Okay, so as we were talking about earlier today, where we are, and as you just had a chance to enjoy in Seder, we're shifting from Lamed Daled, Lamed Beis, Lamed Hey, Lamed Aleph to the bottom of Lamed Hey, Lamed Beis, shifting more fundamentally from the world of the Chefs Shel Tefillin to the world of the Maisa, the Hanachas Tefillin, from the world of the Sofer, which you had a chance at least to dip into a little bit with my Rashi and Tam, to the world of every Jew's relationship with Tefillin. And the Hanachas Tefillin, the Gemara begins the discussion of Hanacha, Hilchas Hanachas Tefillin. It's gonna on the bottom of Lamed Hey Beis. It's gonna run through Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin. And the first couple topics are about the bracha. As you begin to see the Chavrusa just now, there's a lot of richness, as is always the case, a lot of richness packed into just a few lines of Gemara. And these couple lines of Gemara already raise a couple of tefillin specific issues, a couple of general halachic issues that come up not just when you're wearing tefillin. So let's get started. Amar of Shmuel, the Bava Lamehe Beis. Amar of Shmuel Bar Bidri, Amar Rav. We haven't, Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri is a pretty rare name, but his Rebbe we have heard of plenty of times. Rav. So he's quoting his Rebbe. Rav, one of the lesser known, lesser quoted Talmidim of Rav, Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri, quotes Rav. Ve'amrila, and others say, Amar of Acha Aricha, Amar of Huna. Maybe it was Rav Acha Aricha quoting Rav Huna, or Amrila, Amar of Menashe, Amar Shmuel. All the three versions, it's a more obscure Talmud quoting a well-known Rebbe. Either quote a Talmud of Rav quoting Rav, a Talmud of Rav Huna quoting Rav Huna, or a Talmud of Shmuel quoting Shmuel. Whoever it is, this goes back to the beginning of the period of the Amoraim in Bavel. Rav or Shmuel or Rav Huna said the following: "Tefillin, when do you say the bracha on the tefillin?" Ah, the answer is Mishas Hanachasan, from the time that you put them on. What does Rashi say? Now, when Rashi tells you the word Bidri is shame, I mean it is a name. In case you're wondering, what does Bidri mean? It's not a word you need to translate. Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri, that's his name. Rav Shmuel, the son of Bidri. Okay. Mishas says Rashi, Mashmala Acher. You say the bracha once they're on. You say the bracha once they're on. Many of us, quick show of hands, who heard thunder yesterday or over Shabbos? Different people in different parts of the country, different parts of the continent, I should say. Right? But I think it looks like a lot of us over the last couple of days heard thunder. So you hear the thunder, and then when you hear the thunder, you make a bracha, Shekocho Ugarosa Maliolam. So Gemara says, yeah. So Rav or Shmuel or Rav Huna is quoted as saying, when you put on the tefillin, then you make a bracha. You hear the thunder, you make a bracha. You put on the tefillin, you make a bracha. Mishas Hanachasan. So the Gemara says, really? Any? Va'amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvos Kula Mevarach Alein, Over La'Asiyasan. But the din is that you're supposed to make the bracha over La'Asiyasan, before you do the mitzvah, not after you do the mitzvah. How could Rav or Shmuel or Huna have said that after you're wearing the tefillin, then you say the bracha? It's wrong. So Abaye v'Rava, Da'amri Travayu, no. And by the way, before you get to the Teretz, in other words, how about the thunder? How about the thunder? The thunder, you don't make the bracha on the thunder before you hear the thunder. And then would that be, well, challenging to make the bracha before you even hear the thunder? Right? Obviously, you hear the thunder, you make the bracha. So why is that so troubling by the tefillin? Yeah, what do you say, Yontan? Okay. Okay. Good. So number one, by the thunder, it's pretty challenging. A little bit easier by the thunder than by some other things, other cases where you make a bracha on what you hear and see. Because if you see the lightning, you know the thunder's coming. Although you're not sure exactly when it's coming. If I was going to go see, see the Alps, see the Grand Canyon, so I could, in theory, I'm almost there, close my eyes, have someone walk me over, say the bracha, open my eyes. It doesn't, it seems a little awkward, but it's theoretically doable. So number one, brachas and the things that you see in here, right, it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, practically, right, to make the bracha beforehand. Good, good, good. And what else? Yeah, what do you say, Yoni? Ah, okay, so right, so maybe I could have. So maybe there's more, something more than just practically it doesn't work. Let me actually show you or share with you the Rambam, the very beginning of Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam, the very beginning of Hilchos Brachos tells us, you know, there's a bracha daraisa, a mitzvah daraisa of Birkas HaMazon. That's daraisa. Other brachas are drabanan. Other brachas after food. Other brachas, the brachas we say before food, those are drabanan. And then he says, you know, it aren't only brachas on food. There's also brachas on mitzvos and brachas on the things that you see in here. Shavach v'hodah. Now, there are different categories of brachas. There's Birkas Hananin on food and smell, brachas on pleasure, on hana, Birkas HaMitzvahs, brachas on mitzvahs, and Birkas Shavach V'Hodah, brachas of praise and thanks. Like, you see the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the lightning and the thunder. You see the grandeur, the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. When you see the Alps, and you see the Grand Canyon, you see Niagara, and so on and so forth, they make a bracha. So those are category three. So what would you say is perhaps the difference here? You know what I'm Okay, very good. So Yonatan's already breaking this down. They're thinking about the different categories of mitzvahs and noticing that, yeah, Birkas Shavach V'Hodah, as you pointed out, so it's a reaction to what you're seeing. It's a reaction to what you're hearing. As I encountered something that shook me. I encountered something that sort of reminded me of the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that react with the bracha. I hear the thunder. I see the lightning. I see this. I heard that. Boom. So my reaction is a bracha, right? Whereas you're saying, obviously, with the food not, mitzvah is sort of interesting. And here's this principle. Here's a rule. Over Shmuel tells me, Kol ha-mitzvahs kul mevarach alein over la-siyasa, right? We might not have known how to, what we would have guessed on our own, not sure. Would we have guessed you should make a birkas mitzvah before or afters? Good question. Got to think about that. But at least, okay, I hear it's a different category of mitzvah. It operates by its own rules. So birkas shavach v'hodah, like the bracha on thunder afterwards, the birkas mitzvah, Shmuel told me, is before. Yonatan's also getting us thinking, we're going to have to return to this. We're thinking about, okay, but why? Why indeed are birkas mitzvah over las yasin? It requires some more explanation, right? If we're not sure what we would have guessed, so what is Shmuel telling me? But at the very least, we're beginning to see, so different brachas might be different. You may want to think about what's driving different brachas. Okay. So the bracha on, bracha on food is both before and after. Bracha Rishon and bracha Achrona. And Birkas Shavach V'Hodah is typically afterwards. And okay, Shmuel told me the rule is Birkas HaMitzvah comes before. Okay. So for now, we can just sort of take that face value. That's the rule. Kol HaMitzvos Kulon Mevarach Alein Over Las Yasa. And he didn't talk about thunder and lightning. He talked about mitzvahs. Bracha and Tefillin is a mitzvah. Is a Birkas HaMitzvah. So, but then the question is, okay, so what was that statement before? Given that that's the rule over Las Yosan, so now we have that kasha of what's the kasha? The kasha is, so how could it be that Rav or Shmuel or Rav Huna, whoever it was, made that opening statement that you say the bracha, Mishas Hanachasan. Mishas Hanachasan. So, Abaye v'Rava da'amri travayu Mishas Hanacha v'ad Shas Kshir. Bottom line, literally, the bottom line in the Amud. From the time of Hanacha until the time of tying. How does that answer the question? The question was the rules you have to make the bracha before hanachas tefillin and before the ma'aseh mitzvah. So what Abai v'Rav and Ezra? Abai v'Rav usually argue. Here they actually agree. Right? And they probably agreed 99% of the time. But the Gemara usually quotes both of them when they're arguing. Otherwise, you only hear about one of them. Every once in a long while, they're going to a little stress. Abai v'Rav gave the same answer. Right? What exactly was their answer? What's this answer they agreed on? Yeah? You know what, Tom? Adir? Yeah? Right. Yes. Right. Rashi says, good, as Adir says, my mishas hanachasan dekamo. What do you mean by ashas hanachasan? Mishas hanacha ad shas kshira. From when it's put down until when it's actually tied. The kivin da adayin lo kshara, and you haven't yet tied the tefillin over lasiyasanu. So it's still in advance of the asiyas hamitzvah. Now, if you're reading Rashi carefully, so I think Adir was also sensitizing us to another point, which is what changes from the Hava Mina of the Gemara to Maskana of the Gemara? What's the motion, according to Rashi, from Hava Mina to Maskana? Yeah, Yoni, what would you say? Share the wealth? Right, and you'll notice, okay, so one thing is what's the mitzvah? Okay, good, what's the exact point of the mitzvah? The exact point of the mitzvah is when you actually tighten it, when you actually tie it. The kshira is the mitzvah. Kshar tam le'osa adech, you only mekayim the mitzvah once it's tied. For now, let's assume that we know what that means, to tie tefillin. Presumably that means to tighten the tefillin. So until it's tightened, until it's tied, Ashas Kshira, you haven't mekayim anything. If you put the Shel Rosh loosely resting on your head, or you put the Shel Yad on your arm, but you haven't yet pulled it tight, haven't even been mekayim anything. If it sits that way the whole time, there's no mitzvah. Now, what Rashi also appears to be saying, perhaps, is a shift in terms of how you translate the word Hanacha. In other words, we often talk about Hanachas Tefillin as to mean putting on the Tefillin. As a matter of fact, the language of the Bracha, as the Gemara is going to say on Lam Vav Amalf, Asher Kishom Sosavit Sivanu Lehaniach Tefillin. We refer to the act of putting on Tefillin as Hanachas Tefillin. Maybe your grandfather speaks Yiddish, he talks about Legin Tefillin, literally laying down the Tefillin. Lahaniach, to bring the tefillin to rest on your arm, on your head. So, what part of if you notice what Rashi appears to be saying is the Gemara shifted its understanding of what this Amara meant when he said Mishas Hanachasan. Originally, the Gemara thought Mishas Hanachasan means from when you put on the tefillin, and the usual is Hanachas tefillin, the whole process of putting on tefillin. And Mishas Hanachasan meant after Hanachas tefillin, as in after the tefillin are fully done. And the Gemara says that can't be. That would violate the rule of overlasi yasa. You're supposed to make the bracha before the ma'aseh mitzvah, not after the ma'aseh mitzvah. So what happens, at least according to Rashi, apparently, is we retranslated the word Hanacha in this context. It doesn't mean, in this context, the full process of putting on the tefillin. It just means literally putting them into place. Putting the tefillin down. That's what Abai and Rav are saying. Mishas Hanacha v'ad shas kshira. In between literally placement and tying and tightening, which is the actual Ma'isa Mitzvah. We usually colloquially use the terminology Hanachas Tefillin to just mean that whole process, putting it in place and tying it. Abai Rav is saying, yeah, but here we didn't mean that. Here we meant specifically after putting it into the right position, but before actually tying it. If you look back at Rashi, you'll notice he said, "My mishas hanachasin de ka'amar." What did he mean when he said mishas hanachasin? What he meant is da da da. His focus, that turn of phrase in Rashi is very delicate, but he's focusing us, I think, on recognizing what Abai and Rav are really doing, at least for Rashi, is retranslating the word Hanacha. In this quote we had from Rav or Shmuel or Ravuna, whoever the versions, whoever it was who said it, they didn't mean Hanacha Tefillin broadly, they meant on a micro level, placement. Okay. So number one, that's the Gemara. Now you saw Bechavrusa, the Nemuke Yosef here, following Nemuke Yosef was like a great grand Talmud of the Ramban. He's part of the school, the base medrash, as we say, of the Ramban. Ramban had a major, major influence in Spain. Ramban is one of the middle of the period that we shown him. Ramban's Talmidim included the Rashba, and the Rashba's Talmidim included the Ritva. And another generation or two later was Nemuke Yosef, all from that school of learning, all from that school of thought. So if you had a Gemara Menachos, you might have looked in the back of the Mukhe Yosef. Even if not, you had a chance to see the Ritva. You had a chance to see Ritva both in Pesach and Megillah. And his opening question was, what? That subtle first question about a word. He was bothered by one word in our Gemara. Yeah, Yonatan? Yeah, such an odd word. That's such an odd word. Our Gemara doesn't spend so much time on it. Many of the you see on the side, I mentioned, I saw some of you look this together in Seder. This seven-word phrase by Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvos Kul Mevarach Alein Over L'Asiyasan, you see on the side, appears in seven different places in Shas. It appears in Menachos, in Sukkah, in Nida, Megillah, twice in Pesachim. And many times the Gemara quotes and gives a long explanation of what does the word over mean? That's such an odd word. The Gemara defines, oh, psapasik and malachim, over means in advance of. The Ritva says, why do you have to give me an odd word, then you have to spend time define it? Just say beforehand, use the word kodem. Why are you using an awkward word, then you have to jump through hoops to tell me what it means? So what he saw, very good. So what does the Ritva answer? Mukhi Yosef gives this answer, Ritva gives this answer. What do they say? What do I gain by using the word over instead of the more normal word kodem? Yeah, Zechariah? Gevaldik. Gevaldik. Kodem would just mean before. Before could be 3 seconds before, or it could be a day before, it could be an hour before. At some point before the bracha, before the mitzvah, you should say the bracha. But that's, as Zechariah said, we showed him, say, Ritva the written Mukha said, that's not what the din is. The din is, it has to be immediately before. Takeif kodem. So the way to say immediately before is either to use two words, takeif kodem, or miyad kodem, or to use one word, and the word is over. Because over means preceding, immediately preceding. So that's why the word over, it's a little more unusual, but it's more efficient also, because it captures more precisely what it is that we're trying to say immediately in advance. And if you look back at our Gemara, as a matter of fact, that's our Gemara's maskana. That's the reason why Mishas Hanachasan Va'ad Shas Kshira. Why not just say Hasti before Kshira? The whole point, when you think about it, the whole point of our Gemara was exactly that point that Ritva and Mukhe Yosef make. Right? The Gemara came to the conclusion that when Rav or Shmuel, Rav Huna, whoever was said, Mishas Hanachasan, what they meant is after Hanacha. Why after Hanacha? What does that mean? Ah, now we know what it means. Yes, it has to be before the Kshira, but it cannot be too far before the Kshira. And this is very important, Lehalacha. This is very important, lehalacha. I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with this lehalacha and I'll leave you with three quick things. Lehalacha, Nuk Yosef's twist, and where we're headed next time. Lehalacha, this means that when you put on tefillin, you can't say the bracha too early. A lot of time, if you actually think about what you're doing, you'll recognize that as you're finishing the unwrapping, you might already automatically be saying the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, like you're sort of like slipping onto your head, slipping onto your arm, so that by the time you're done with the bracha, you're ready to tie. So the Gemara says that's not right. That's too far in advance. That might be kodim, it's not over. Over means immediately before, as opposed to what some of the Rishonim refer to as over to over. No, before the before. That's what our Gemara itself explicitly said. You make the bracha before you tie, but only after it's placed. Until the tefillin are in proper position, I cannot begin the bracha. I need to train myself to not even say the first word of the bracha until after the tefillin are fully in place. We're so in the mode of constantly in motion, constantly doing. You get everything fully ready. You don't begin the bracha until the very next step is the ma'aseh mitzvah itself. All the preliminaries are done. The tefillin are unwrapped. They're actually in position, but not yet tightened. And then you say the bracha. And then when you're done with the bracha, then you tighten. That's what our Gemara is describing. I would add that if you look in the Nemukei Yosef himself carefully, he actually seems to understand this was the Gemara's whole back and forth. That while Rashi, as we saw, was saying that the Gemara's back and forth was, we originally, the Havmina was that you're making the bracha later, the Nemukah seems to think it was Adrabah. We're saying you're making the bracha, he thought you were making the bracha too early. But either way, the Nemukei Yosef and the Rashi, everyone agrees where the Gemara lands at is this maskana. Again, you want to say the bracha before the Ma'aseh Mitzvah, which is the Keshira, but not too far before the Ma'aseh Mitzvah, immediately before, after placement, but before tying. And finally, and then I'm glad to stick around for questions, in terms of where we're going next time, two larger hanging questions in our sugya we will return pick up with. One is sort of to dig deeper, well, we've been digging into today into the mechanics of Ovelas Yasin, but the hanging question from before is why? And it's something that what's the point of making the bracha before? And specifically, what's the point of making the bracha right before? And this right before may give us insight into why we make it before at all, and not only that, we might even be able to zoom out more and understand the point of Birkas HaMitzvahs in general. This detail of Ovelas Yasin may have a lot to teach us. The other hanging question is, what exactly do you mean by Kshira? I mean Kshira, we keep saying tying. Tying, who ties tefillin? The Sofer tied the tefillin years ago. I mean Kshira. So there's actually a fascinating machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Elio of Paris. What is the point that the Gemara is trying to make with the Shas Kshira? So we're going to learn from here something important about brachos in general, and we're going to learn something important from here about the basic mitzvah of Kshiras Tefillin. So that's where we're headed in Mirtz Hashem next time, and we have a practical halacha l'maisa sensitivity to take with us from today. I'm glad to hang around for questions, or as long as you guys have questions, and have an amazing, amazing day, Chevra.